Welcome to the Face Downs, your source for TCG news and all things Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm Lucas.
I'm Ruben.
Yeah, and I'm Joe.
You son of a... I hate you.
You are so shady. And welcome to the Face Downs After Dark.
They even join in there. I'm just like way off the pace.
Yeah, doll. You're...
Joe's like, I'm living it up.
Wild and out, doll.
7 a.m. where you are, right, Joe?
Yeah.
You're in
7 a.m. Canada. In the UK.
Yeah. Correspondent. What's it like over there? We could have made a Guadalajara joke, actually. Live from Guadalajara. You're late to the YCS, I hear. You missed it. Yeah,
missed it. Shame. What have you been? I don't know what. Probably adventure.
Yeah. Or was X1? It? I thought so.
This unplayable structure deck.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't consider it meta, personally.
Or why would you buying this? Don't spend your money on sealed.
A structure deck? Those are for beginners. Those are for new players.
Those are for kids.
Yeah.
Y'all don't need those.
Speaking
welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. We are here with another episode. We're doing an After Dark. It is currently 9:30 in the evening.
After Dark. That's probably like normal hours for most podcasts, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. I listen to a lot of people who speak like that mid-morning, afternoon.
Nah,
I
let's did. Do it.
I would love to in future, if we ever are this torturous to ourselves, I would love to do one where we've just woken up.
No. Just no. Yeah.
Cool.
Moving on.
Yes, and yeah.
All right, you carry. I need to get a glass of water. You keep going.
That's so funny. Just immediately shot down by my lovely co-hosts. Thanks, guys. But Joe, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. We just came off a winner box in Palmy.
You mean
Winner Virus? Yeah. I mean, the winner got COVID. It was a good tournament. It was about 15 odd players there. And Ken won it with a sort of like dragon pile deck.
Evil, as I would describe the deck.
But no one really cares anymore because finally... we have the Arbaz structure deck.
We can all stop playing terrible decks. That's the thing.
Yeah,
it's like, and play terrible decks.
Drytron
with Mirror Jade
with DPE. I mean, come on.
DPE who?
Grow up.
What's a DPE? Yeah. Does anyone use that anymore?
It's probably still pretty good, right?
During phase end.
Yeah,
that's like what all the things do. Yeah,
it's a card that everyone's going to realize is like still good in a couple of weeks.
Eventually,
and go back to playing alongside branded.
That card stay good. But yes, Joe is correct. We are now proud owners of the Albaz Strike structure deck.
Welcome to hell, baby.
Welcome to, you know, the doors.
Yeah.
What was the first structure deck you could have bought three of and played it out the gate?
Me?
No, just in general, like in history. What was the first structure deck where you could go three of and I don't need
anything? Oh, I thought you meant like what's the first structure deck you ever bought?
That's a great question too.
I had Exod growing up, one copy, and I had the Infernal Flame Emperor one.
Like, I had
dumbass fire dude.
I think it went with the dragons one, the one with the mask dragon, and I can't even remember the name of it. Dragons.
I definitely had Starter Deck Yuki as well.
I think mine was Warrior Strike, which was good for the legend. Strike. And do Stan. And then I was always jealous because my cousin had the one with Dark Eradicator Warlock, which I still think is one of the best looking cards to this day.
There's only one other structure deck you could just buy three of and play, and it was Monarch.
I'm pretty sure you could also buy three of Lost World.
You need like the synchros and stuff. Like, I'm saying is like, just you need three structure decks. Show up to a regional and like pop.
Oh, I mean, in the same context that like you need Alibas to play branded.
But the thing is, you don't. Like, I think you could definitely just get away with, I'll just draw branded fusion as a play. I mean, it's pretty likely. You have it in the deck.
I think you could definitely like build something out of the three structure decks that is somewhat competitive at a hobby league. Like,
yeah.
Mirror Jade's still a card, right? And like you also get like a bad version of Aluba in the deck as well. I'm pretty sure. Like Spriggan's.
Yeah, you do. And it's searchable from Mercuria. So like there's a lot of ways to at least recur your resources.
Yeah, so I think
we're talking about the Albaz Strike structure deck, which finally landed in New Zealand. So to anyone listening overseas, this is obviously old news.
Very old news.
Sorry that we're tardy to the party.
It is kind of sad, I guess, in a way, to get a deck late because we don't even get like the honeymoon period with the deck. We're already kind of sick of it. We haven't even got a chance to play with it. But we're all
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think we've had a honeymoon period with this deck. at all, because we immediately saw how problematic it was in Japan.
No, but I don't know. There's always a moment where TCG gets to play with the new toys, and it's fun for like a few days, because you just kind of play the matchup over and over again. And then after a week, you're like, ugh, I'm so sick of Mirror Jade Pass. But I feel like I'm already just so over Mirror Jade Pass.
It's day two.
I haven't seen it. I've not even seen the card be summoned.
You know? I mean, yeah, I'm still kind of looking forward to it. Like, I've been on Despia since Dharma. So, like, I guess for me, it's nice to see a deck finally be good that I picked up. Thanks, B-Troopers. Ruined my, you know...
Just wait for that OCG support, I promise you. As someone with holding on to an ulti Doomdozer, I promise you it'll be good. I promise.
Yeah, so... And please bring out a Cosmo Yoda. That one hasn't been yet, right? That one hasn't been?
We don't have a Yoda character. Which, to be honest, total tangent, we absolutely should have one, because we don't have the wizard from The Wizard of Oz as a character in Cosmo.
Never printed another Cosmo card.
But that's what I mean. Is it's like that they should, because
Cosmo
they
Link one, please.
For what?
I don't know. Cosmo just something. Yeah.
Link one that searches the field spell.
Yeah. Cosmo Town's like not even good.
Whoa, take that back.
As someone who might own three Dark Destroyers very shortly, I think it's a good card. Yeah.
It's a wonderful card.
The best card to cheat with and say to your opponent that the field spell rule still works the same way.
Yeah, Gear Town over Gear Town. Perfect. So yeah, we've got Alba Strike. We're all sick to the hind teeth of it because we've already seen it.
I'm already not playing it. I'm like looking at the Tri Brigade deck I put it in and like,
I built Lofton's first place list and I went, I'm good. I don't need to do this. I was like, I know what this deck does. And I know how to beat it. And that's with Agents.
The other thing, we're literally like about 3 or 4 hours away from Ghost from the Past 2. Officially coming out. I think we got Mac on the page doing a midnight open, which is going to be pretty cool.
Well, that's where the agents come from, which is probably the other new cool deck coming out that couldn't exist in the OCG because of Mac C. Nice shine balls. So it's interesting that deck, having seen Dino play it, is actually secretly really, really strong. It feels similar to, I don't know, it feels similar to a deck like World Chalice.
It's almost like a Drytron. Like you've got like a you've got a good couple of lines you can go through, and your end board isn't. I mean, it's nowhere near as oppressive.
Yeah,
as Drytron,
I wouldn't equate it to Drytron just because Drytron like, was sort of an FTK deck.
I'd say it was like modern Drytron, like after the first two waves of hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it just feels like one of those kind of generic combo decks. The reason I say World Chalice is because World Chalice, like, ended on a wide variety of interaction that acts like an unbreakable board, even though when you look at the individual pieces, they're not particularly strong. It's like it's a book, it's an imperm, and
it's a banish.
And it's a targeted banish. But it has really interesting ways of getting there, and it also presents your opponent very few opportunities to meaningfully interact with it. Ash Venus and such. So it's cool. I mean, I'm definitely enjoying watching Dino run me through the combos and kind of how it's going to look. I think it'll be a sleeper hit. I think there'll be some people who, I don't know, like top 32 or YCS. It very much feels like a one copy of the deck in a top cut kind of deck.
Totally.
You know those kind of decks like V-Dub, like Infernoid back in the day?
Yeah, Infernoid's a classic one.
Muskets just would like occasionally get a top, and you're just like, that deck's not very good, but I'm glad someone's trying.
You know what? Good for her.
Someone just had a really good day today.
Yeah, I guess the other thing that I've noticed in the Ghost from the Past is the Alubas, obviously. Like, there's those. I think there's a Hauk reprint, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and word is Alaba is not shorted. Everyone's suspicions that it would be like massively shorted are incorrect from what we've heard whispers of from people who've opened it for singles.
Whispers in the Willows?
Yeah, Whispers in the Willows. It seems like Alaba is as shorted as every Ultra / chase card. They always have like one slot in the pack that's a chase card.
It's like
card,
your import, which so is like totally understandable. Like, hello, they've got to make you byproduct for a reason. But it's nice to know that on like a large case, like on a large spread, that you're not just like, wow, I have to fight for
it means
an Alaba. Yeah,
because if they're about one a display or 1.5 displays, I mean, if you consider the price of a box of Dama close to the price of a display, but you have a 1 in 5 chance of pulling an Alaba from a box of Dama, so you can see how the price is just good. And it's an Ultra, so it's not as pretty.
Not the highest rarity. Obviously, for those of us in the EU, it's the correct text.
I can't wait to cheat
not a misprint.
Tell people that their card doesn't do what it says it does. be great.
Yeah. I mean, are you guys looking forward to like getting any upgrades from Ghosts? Like, has anything stuck out?
DDD stuff's cool.
The DDD stuff is super cool. You get your Divine King.
I just get to play Swirl Slimes that are shiny, which is nice.
Absolutely. Joe, are you picking up any upgrades? Oh, maybe.
Sorry, I was just getting the dog's head out of the bin.
Get the dog on the pod. Get him on.
Yeah, sorry. Please repeat the question.
Are you looking to pick up any particular upgrades from Ghosts from the Past?
No.
All right.
Great. Yes, and.
I love podcasting.
I love podcasting at 20
you
to
just,
10.
You just have talks with your friends. You definitely...
No, I mean, I wouldn't mind a ghost, but, like, that's about it. Like, I've got pretty much everything that's in there already, like, reprint-wise. I'm not really interested in playing the agents as such, so I guess there's...
Watch out, sweetie.
Yeah, there's just not really anything in there. The dad, I'll take the dad. Yeah,
I think the dad is nice, because he'd played an old deck, but also, like, just chuck it and brand it. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll bring Eclipse Wyvern him back.
I'll definitely chuck it in my Shadow multi-format deck.
Yeah. Could you imagine they brought Eclipse Wyvern back, by the way, and it's like, send it off, Branded Fusion, banish it with Albion. That sounds great. They should do that.
Chain block your Lubellion.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
And then banish with Snow.
Yeah.
I mean, May's a huge month for releases. Albers was supposed to be April, but, you know, May for the New Zealand. And Australia. We were not the only ones that were gypped by shipping. But we do have a Dimension Force. That's due to premiere next weekend. Whether it arrives, that's another question. But we do have leaks coming out, as always, my favorite time, leak season, spoiler season. So we currently are aware of 9 of the 10 secret rares.
Really, really holding our breath to see which of the...
6 cards could be.
There's like 6 things. Are you aware of the leaks, Joe? Have you been paying attention?
Some. Not a lot, to be honest, but some, yeah.
You've got me live reporting in the group chat because I'm obsessed.
So the only good ones I can think of are what? Psychic and Ruler.
Psychic and Punisher, yeah.
Ooh. Punisher, kind of kinky, but what else is good?
So you got 9, so I'll run through it.
The Albers fusion is good.
Yeah, so we've got in terms of 3 agents, you've got Psychic and Punisher, which is your level 11 synchro, which is amazing.
That card's awesome.
Generic, by the way, would like to just put that out. Great pickup for those if you want like a really good level 11. I was even talking about it for like a 10 year old soul. You can just make it. Which is great. In terms of like the Scareclaw stuff, you've got the Link 3 and the Vsauce Starfrost. So Husbando and
Vsauce is basically a generic card, to be fair.
Absolutely.
It's kind of just like a guy, but
absolutely
technically goes in that deck.
You have the cover card, which is Odd-Eyes Pendulum Graph Dragon. I believe that's its name.
That card's swag.
The Ritual Pendulum, which is super cool. We've got 2 Therians. We've got Regulus and Borea. I believe we probably predicted those. The Omni Negate and the Rota. That absolutely makes sense. You've got the Alba Lenitus, which is the Chimera Tech for Dragons and Fallen of Albaz, which is very strong.
Rip Dragon Link.
RAP Marshall in particular. Your powerful Dragon Link will be brought to its knees.
It's just so funny how like just utterly that card put Dragon Link off the map. Like there's just no chance. Like I guess if you just don't go up against Branded all day, then you're fine, but like Jesus Christ.
Also like they die to Super Poly pretty hard too. So
they do.
Yeah, you could just normal summon, use your fast effect priority and just like yoink the spheres and the hot rod to make Proskynion.
Yeah.
You go, thank you.
But also like
you can
you just set a monster and then they have to do something or else you contact fuse their entire field.
Yeah.
That's
insanely
really
funny.
They can't even like use the eggs to bounce your thing.
Do they have to bounce a face-up card?
No, you can bounce any card, but...
I'm pretty sure Spheres is face-up only.
That's just during your opponent's turn.
I think you might be right, actually, because I've never seen someone Spheres a back row, which feels like a thing I would have seen.
Live research, I'll have a look.
Live research.
If Dragon, so, Link. That's really funny.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
I hope that's true.
Live research.
Who would win? A giant orb...
Target one face-up card on the field.
Get wrecked, Dragon Link. Oh my god, that's so funny.
We are literally setting Alba.
Set you can just set Alba. Yeah, that's why
you also get a monster is the messed up part.
Yeah.
Who's not even that. Like, it's a good creature.
So so that's the end of Dragon Link, almost.
Other secrets. What else was there?
There is a Libramancer secret if I'm...
Yes. Oh, Illegal Knight, before we get onto the TCG exclusives. Illegal Knight, which is an upgrade from Japan, which is very interesting.
Not surprised. Yeah. I could have called that.
Yeah. And then, Libramancer Fire, which is the second support for Libramancer. This is pretty good. It's just at same condition as Geek Boy, and it searches a Libramancer monster. So
it's not a level 3, so it searches any Libramancer card.
Yeah.
It searches any Libramancer card.
It's a Libramancer monster. I literally have read the card. It is Libramancer monster.
I read it like 4 times. I could have sworn it just says Libramancer card.
The translation provided by Dual Daddy was incorrect, unfortunately.
Oh, was it?
Yes,
oh,
it is Libramancer monster.
Okay, fair enough.
So those are the 9, for those keeping track at home. Oh, I might have said 8, but lol. So we don't know what the last one will be.
Beyond the Pendulum, probably.
Yeah, so you've got Beyond the Pendulum as an option. Dynamorphia Rixterm is an option.
The reason I think it's Beyond the Pendulum is because that card, there's no other, like, I guess the Odd Eyes card, but it feels like such a free agent. Like, it just says Pendulum support on it, as opposed to Odd Eyes support or anything like that, which makes me think it kind of fits that slot of, like, Underworld Goddess or, like, random Link monsters that show up and support a typing or archetype that, I don't know. It just feels like the kind of card that will be a secret.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, the artwork is so pretty. I mean, I think also like the Dynamorphia secret is like Rixterm could be a really nice secret.
But the thing is, Dynamorphia already got like a lot of high rarity cards. So,
I mean, their fusion's an Ultra in the set. So,
yeah, that's kind of it. Like, I feel like they'll get a matching Ultra.
Well, that's actually a good point. Yeah. I didn't really think about that.
It would be weird for them to just randomly get 2 Ultra fusions and then a secret fusion in the next set because normally decks get downgraded. I don't know.
I think that's it. And we don't know any Starlights.
No, no one's pulled one yet.
One thing I noted is I bought my Libramancer Geek Boys for $2.30 each, and now they're $12 each.
They did triple in price.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they went up. I don't know why. But like,
the support is terrible. The support is not so great. Bad.
It's not wonderful.
Scale of BA to Warrock?
It's like in the middle. I think it's quite
below B Trooper.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed.
B Trooper had tops this deck,
but that's not a fair analysis when the deck support isn't all out.
But B Trooper had tops in the first wave.
No. Herman Hansen was using the Burst of Destiny support because you had a free level 4.
Oh,
summon.
sure. But I don't
and
think
free summons.
The new support is not going to let this deck top a YCS.
I don't think
not
so.
Even close. No way. B Trooper's actually had like a pretty solid. Because the thing is, Bugs was already kind of a deck. Like, we'd seen James play it quite a bit. With
Ballpark. Ballpark and Bugs.
Or, like, Papillion Control as well, with Doomdozer and things like that, with Resonance Insect. Like, we knew that deck existed. It just needed, like, a payoff and some support. Whereas, I don't know, like, Rituals...
On-field Rituals.
It just isn't a deck. Like, there's no way you can convince me that Drytron is, like, a diehard Ritual deck. The Drytrons themselves don't give a crap.
They're not a ritual deck. They literally printed an Xyz. They were like, doing other
stuff. It's an Xyz and Link deck that happens to use Rituals as extenders. Yeah. Like, that's it. And
well, Rituals are the engines to spam your Links out, right?
Yes, exactly. Like, Ben 10 is not a ritual monster, right? It's just,
girl, that's a
when was the last time someone ritual summoned Ben 10 for its actual effect? Absolutely not. So
probably it'll win in time.
I think the problem the Libramancer has, and even with the new support, it just feels clunky, right? And also is a deck that like requires you to draw both your ritual monsters and your ritual cards, and in that sense already you're playing a deck that requires a good hand. Like,
the issue with rituals has always been it has the same problem as fusions, where it's like a neg 4 to summon a ritual monster.
Yeah,
and so there's only 2 options, and fusions have decided fuse from deck is the solution, which is fine, if not a little bit power, you know, like it's just a little bit too good sometimes, but it's playable.
Yeah, I mean,
with rituals,
like,
is that
like the conditions that have to be put on them.
The issue with rituals is that their solution for rituals is, what if you just go plus 11, right? And it's all well and good, but that means you have to still fill your deck full of bad cards that go plus just so you can play your own mechanic. Whereas at least fusion decks generally can be quite compact, so there hasn't really been a good solution to rituals. I like the magic-y idea, like making advanced ritual art your core mechanic.
I think
like has to be from deck. That's the only solution for one of these decks to be good.
I mean, Necroz did it well, but like,
But they don't anymore. Necros
did it well because of Charit, but also it was like 2015.
And Kaleidoscope as well was a good card.
Kaleidoscope, like, I mean, yeah. Very good example.
That was a time where you needed less to win, right? Nowadays, you need a lot more, and rituals just don't have like, that unfair mechanic to keep them
The
as field good spell, as Synchro's Exceed links. It's just not happening.
The field spell itself is okay. Like, the fact it like rotors a card out on activation and then is a non-once per turn ritual card that just stays on the field. That's good, but it needed something else just to be a little bit more unfair. I think it's fallen victim to Konami's let's build really fair decks, and they never really fare well.
Them. They're calibrating, like with pendulums of late. They're trying to take a thing that has been broken in the past and calibrate how to remedy. Because Necroz was definitely too far in one direction at the time.
It was too far for the time.
They were like, rituals are really underpowered. Let's print a good ritual archetype. And they went too far. And it felt like since then, if you look at stuff like Neptis or until Drytron, basically.
I mean, Xenobirds were like basically the hard reset on ritual summons.
Everything was really fair. What's the other one? Fendreds, I guess, was another ritual archetype. And now they're calibrating like, okay, let's ease into it. And kind of like push the boundaries of rituals without just immediately breaking the mechanic again. Yeah. And I feel like as much as you want to dog on Branded being OP and power creeping Shadow Fusion, it does feel kind of like the culmination of Konami trying to hone in on what a good fusion deck looks like.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because Shadows at that time were too good. They had to ban a bunch of stuff. And I don't know. Despia Branded feels like a good deck. But I mean, how long has it been since we've had a good fusion deck? I mean, not since Shadows, right? Like,
yeah, since the research. I mean, like, IDS was
and Invoked was like barely a fusion deck, so it feels like this is kind of, if you wanted to call it like a masterclass or like a culmination of them working out what a fusion deck needs to look like. You know, we've all had Link deck number 37 and Synchro deck number 24 to enjoy for how long now?
Actually,
right? Or like Xyz deck number 115, because that's actually secretly the most broken mechanic.
Yeah,
so I don't know. It's kind of nice to have them play with the underrepresented summoning mechanics. I would love to see, like, I don't know. They can't really make Gemini or Union good just because those mechanics inherently... Ritual is at least redeemable because it's a special summon mechanic.
They did Unions.
Furion kind of play like Unions in a way.
They do.
That's true.
Yeah.
But like Gemini being a normal summon, I mean, you'd have to print the Fluanderies of Gemini that just says, I don't know, you can normal summon 12 times. I don't care.
I think
it would have to be something like that.
What they needed to print really for Libramancer is like, I mean, I played that little fun deck of it, and like the Doombroker itself is actually like an insanely good card once you get it on the field. Being able to like attack directly, like bounce a card and then
set a trap,
like it's pretty decent. But like the problem is it just needed like a bigger boss or like a good payoff or like something along those lines. And I think they've definitely missed the mark with what they printed.
Well, it just leads to things like Magicky right now is just an Auroradon deck. You know, it's when they don't print a payoff, we find a way to pay it off. And that's I think the problem. It's not that we're asking for more broken generic cards. I think if anything, the Agent deck is a really good example of a deck where they printed really nice payoffs for fairies.
And it's all in archetype.
Yeah, they don't have to play, I mean they still play Baron, of course. They still play Bisav, of course, because it's at its heart it's a synchro deck. But you can end on Flare Hyperion plus Hulk plus the trap, and that's a board, you know? That's a board that anyone will...
That's three pieces of interaction.
Yeah, anyone will kind of shake at, and I think that's what Libramancer is missing. Not to dog on the TCG archetype all episode, but it is kind of the only interesting... If you keep up with OCG things, and we've been talking about OCG releases, it's kind of the thing we look forward to is like, okay, TCG exclusive, can we come up with a deck that isn't just Branded Despia? Because apparently that is... just what we get. And I guess there is a bit of disappointment, like OCG to TCG. Oh, it's the same deck. Cool.
I think for me lately,
it hasn't changed.
I quite enjoy the TCG exclusives and I buy them every single time they come out. Like I bought B Trooper when it came out. I was like, yeah, I'm going to give this a go. I want this to be good. It was okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just really am waiting for the next BA or the next, you know, good TCG exclusive, like Cosmo.
The next Spiral, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was a massive fan of Cosmo back in the day, as you know, and like that was a hit. But it wasn't like a meta-breaking hit, right? Like, I remember like when it came out, it was never ever the best deck of the format. It was always like in the top three decks, but it was never quite the top deck. And like, but I didn't really mind at the time because it was like, well, this is a cool deck the OCG doesn't have, and it kind of gives us something cool to play with that they don't get, rather than way around for once.
Yeah.
At the core of some of my somewhat lack of enthusiasm about the next format, like post Alba's deck, is just that it felt like we were prescribed a deck. You know, you looked at all the OCG lists and you're like, I just can't imagine this list changing when it comes to the TCG. And lo and behold, most people are playing the sort of like conservative adventure Despia deck, and then a few people playing the patchwork version that we've known about for a while. And like, I guess as someone who likes to come up with ideas and is a bit of an expressive deck builder, there's this temptation to be like, but what if I put this in this and kind of try that out? And everyone's like, no, we've already solved it. The OCG kind of solved it. Just play the already solved version of the deck that will win more games on average.
Yeah, give it up, Delicious.
Like, you know, we're all in Splite waiting room now, and there's no way you can convince me that the best version of Splite isn't the frog version when it comes over here. It's just going to be that's
unless
the deck.
Unless it is hit before it comes here. That's the only way that it changes.
So we just have to sit here for like 3 months going, well, that's the deck when it comes out, and then when it comes out, we all net deck OCG, and then that's the deck. Cool.
I won't be touching Splite. I'll be playing Exorcist.
I actually do want to play Tier Elements. I think that deck is if there is a deck to be expressive with and come up with like a build that no one's ever seen before, it'll be that deck, because that deck can literally do everything.
And you don't have to worry about Max Day.
No.
You kind of know the format's relatively average when you're already like looking at other options to play that aren't the meta. You know what I mean? Like,
Might just be me, but do I feel like we are so much further behind Japan, like now more than ever?
Maybe.
Am I just wanting to have my cake and eat it too?
Are you just saying we should get rid of the gap? Because I think that's true.
Yeah. I mean,
I think the gap is way outdated.
It's not that the gap's bad. It's just like it feels like it's really wide.
Yeah, but I mean, Digimon had a gap, and then they made efforts to close it. I mean, they specifically designed their sets so that there wouldn't be a delay between Japan and, or as much of a delay between them as it was. And I know that Konami did that when Yu-Gi-Oh! Came out. We combined a lot of OCG sets to begin with, so there wouldn't be like this huge delay.
Yeah, like the Dark Beginnings.
There. Yeah, but it feels like in a world of global distribution and kind of simultaneous movie release dates and everything, it's like, why do we get things 3 months behind? It is weird.
I think it's always been a thing where you're like looking ahead and you're like, well, that format looks like it sucks. Can't wait to play that in 3 months' time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking forward to some of the things that are coming out. And it does put a bit of a dampener on the TCG, because you're like, I'm kind of in, like, you know, before you'd be like, I'm enjoying this format and I know this is coming. Right?
Well, just how was I supposed to come up with a deck?
Yeah.
How was I supposed to find, like, an avenue for something like Despia that hasn't been solved? I guess because the internet, like, there will always be
people. It's kind of exactly what I was about to say. You want to be the one that creates something, then you just have to not use the internet.
But I still think, like, some dude on Dueling Book coming up with a combo is different from it having repeated tournament success in a competitive environment, right? Someone could go around saying, I've got the best build of Despia branded. They could just be wrong, right? But you can look at the OCG list and go, well, it won 7 back-to-back regionals in Japan, so that probably is the best variant, and then that's the end of the book. That closed the story, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's what's hitting me about this format, is like, I don't want to play the prescribed Tri-Brigade, the literally government-mandated Tri-Brigade branded deck that is currently going around, which just feels like exactly what you should. Yeah, like exactly what you should play. When it feels like realistically there should be at least a grace period where we can experiment with some of the other branded cards and have fun maybe mixing things together. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll hold on to that one Ancient Warriors Lyrilisk Tri-Brigade branded deck from the OCG as my out. It topped. It went 6-0-1 at a Japanese event, you know. There is a success of that deck.
Didn't it have the new stuff?
No. That was like week one. That was like one of the first decks that came out of Branded was that abomination. I'm not playing Ancient Warriors though. Those cards are actually bad.
You do get the new support and it's common.
There's new Ancient Warriors cards?
Yes. I never played Three Kingdoms, so I don't know the characters. It's the
Dynasty Warriors?
No, but there is the new support. It's the negate. Yes. Ancient Warriors.
Yeah. Wait, they have a negate?
Yes. I can't remember the name because it's, unfortunately, it is. It's like
I never played Dynasty Warriors either. I don't know any of this stuff.
I'm glad our listeners are here for in-depth news up to the minute from the TCG.
I'm tired, man.
This is after dark. This is what happens.
It's after dark. It's a negate. I know that much. So that's in the set, Dimension Force, and it's common, so relatively affordable. Speaking of another strategy that completely dodged the high print, the high rarity hit was Predaps, actually. Predaplants are all commons.
And ultra.
And you don't even play it because it's like worse Starving Venom. It's worse Dragostapalia. Sorry to Predator Power Dragon. But that's, people are quite interested about that. You still need Predator Practice though. Which, by the way, have you read Predator Practice?
Yeah, it's good.
That card's very good. All those packs of a LED 5 that were open, finally looking for a Malicious Bane or an Adust of Gold. Guys. We do have two Predator Practice, but it will be hopefully printed in LDS 3. What else is there? Magnifica, the Exorcista, is an ultra, which is very exciting. Makes sense. Sticks on theme with the.
I read the new, not the one from Daifo, but the Power of the Elements Exorcista.
Malfa.
Yeah.
Finally.
I just read it again, and I was like, huh. I guess it makes sense why this deck is topping now.
Why do you think that?
I just forget that they just were like, whoops, change the rules on Exorcistas. There you go. How it says if a card leaves the graveyard, summon an Exorcista. Like, period.
Yeah.
That's... It's just, they just like were like, eh. I know we like designed this whole archetype, but it was bad. So here's a new archetype with the same name, but a completely different effect. So funny.
I guess I have one question for you guys about Daifo. What do you think, what card do you reckon will impact the meta the most from that set?
That's a great question. If you're being safe, it's the Adventure and Alba's stuff just because those are already good decks.
Mm. I'd probably say Regulus. I think the ability for Earth Machine, Therian to put up a negate with basically no work is kind of scary.
I don't think Earth Machine is a good deck, even with Regulus. I don't see it.
A total side note, if anyone follows Gizmic Galaxy on Twitter, Rez was like, they tweeted and they were like, why is Earth Machine called Earth Machine? There is literally no other machine deck in the meta, and they are 85% Earths. They should just be called Machine Deck. The Machine Deck.
We'll just call it the Earth Deck. There's no other Earth deck, so...
The door's at Emancipator open.
We'll just call it the deck, actually.
The deck.
It's just the deck.
The deck.
But that deck's terrible. Regulus. And, like, I always feel like there's this funny thing with Yu-Gi-Oh! Players where, like, a new card gets announced, and everyone comes up with this, like, really cute deck that it's going to be good in, and then everyone goes, like,
just kidding.
Actually, the current meta decks were the housing for the new... It's like branded. It's like, oh my god, my Lunalight... Actually, no, just play the Despia deck that was already good, or the Tri-Brigade deck that was already good. And it kind of feels that way with Earth Machine. It's like, finally, Earth Machine's moment to... Actually, this card is just not going to do anything for the deck that was already not topping. You know what I mean?
It's an unsearchable three of.
When was the last time a card, like one card, turned a deck from... I guess it's the Exorcist from Power of the Elements, actually. Double Helix is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Double Helix is
like
pretty good.
Or even like a non-archetype card that's like... Oh, this card is so good with this deck that
grass was greener.
Wasn't... Yeah, that's a good one. Joe's been around for a while, for sure.
Old man Joe.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, there's a lot of the time people kind of really hype up a card. It's like, it's going to make, you know, my deck tier one. And it's like, I don't think it works that way. Regulus is good. Mm. It's also a very, very fair card.
Yes.
You have to trade playing a... basically an unplayable card in your hand in your opener that with setup becomes a fair Omni, like a very fair Omni negate.
I wouldn't say very fair.
I'd say very fair.
I'd say it's fair because if you play more Therians, you get more than one negate.
Yeah, yeah. In pure Therian, it's good, but then you're playing pure Therian.
You're not playing pure Therian. You're putting it as an engine.
Yeah, exactly.
You can bin them to grave. Yeah, Punk is really the
one. But
it's
like the cross out slash my deck's good with Dragoon slash my deck's good with Adventure thing. It's like, my deck's good with Regulus. It's like, is your deck good with Regulus, or is Regulus good and your deck is bad?
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep coming for Earth Machine.
Machine.
The deck.
I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just venting because I always am this person that thinks the new card is gonna make their deck good, but it really does have to be a significant change.
So you know, you know the difference is? I buy them. And go,
that's true.
Why do these cards not work?
I'm not going to buy Earth Machine. Hell no. I'll play like Katakuri with Regulus. That sounds fun.
I need three potatoes.
Yeah, but like...
I think the set overall isn't terrible. It's not a great set, but it's not like... It's not a Blivo. It's not a...
I think there's a lot of cards that are going to be busted ass.
What's your pick for the one card that'll impact the game?
John. Probably, I'll be boring and say the Albaz Fusion, just because it like...
It is.
You guys are so lame.
Like, what do you mean? None of these cards are going to see topping decks.
Bro, I can't believe I'm podcasting with two jars of mayonnaise.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Visa Starfrost is going to really shake up the branded meta. I mean, like, that card's good. Not yet, right? Like, it's going to be good.
I think the reason I say the Albaz Fusion is just because it can, like, almost remove... one of the decks away from being up the top, if that makes sense, like with Dragon Rollers. Just having a look at what else. There's not.
I actually think there is a chance.
Oh, actually, I know. I'll take it all back. I'm going to say the level 11 Synchro.
Psychic and Punisher.
Yeah.
I mean, the card's cool. I don't think it's
cool.
It's like,
no, I know,
it's like another Final Sigma that you can
play. I like it though. I like it.
Gross better than Final Sigma.
Final Sigma's pretty good.
Unaffected, banish, gain attack.
Yeah. Like that.
Take it all back. Actually, it's definitely Libramenta Misty Girl.
Yeah. For sure.
I'm not gonna say Flip Jar. The disrespect.
I think
respect on the pod.
I think maybe the one, and I'm willing to just be wrong, but I just want it to be right so bad. The one deck that we might see come out of this that is sort of unexpected is going to be the Plant deck, similar to how Bee Trooper was kind of a deck but wasn't good. Sun Avalon,
I will say that I will agree with you once Power of the Elements comes out.
Yeah, like Sun Avalon is currently, I'd say, tier 3. Like, it is actually quite good, and the problem with it is that it does a lot and then it doesn't necessarily have a goal in mind. It can kind of just spin its wheels.
What do we say? No all engines and no,
yeah, exactly. But the Plant Therian is a searcher, right?
No car. Yeah, Borea searches a Therian.
You can play a Therian engine in Plants now to get a Regulus on top of what I would already consider to be a good board. Like, Earth Machine is literally Citadel Pass with the double-headed Anger Knuckle. Like,
yeah, Anger Knuckle, Citadel,
Borea. I don't consider that to be a good end board. Whereas the Plant deck is like Bengalancer, Bloom, plus, you know, you can do some Rika stuff. And then a Regulus. Like, yes, you get locked into Plants, but like... it's kind of a rotational thing, and like
that's so fine. I agree with you. Post Power of the Elements, once
like
the
I feel
Rika
like
support comes
Plant
out.
Therian was a thing in the OCG, and Plant is currently a deck here. So, in theory, there is maybe a synthesis of those two decks.
Yeah,
that could see some fringe success, which would be they cool.
Also, or did we discuss this photosynthesis?
Ooh.
Do we discuss this, or do they have two Lone Fire still?
I think they actually might still have Lone Fire at 2, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think Plants is such an interesting one. I think we've even talked about this before, but Plants are just a strategy that exists like outside the orbit of Konami meta game.
You have the broken interaction, right? Where it's like Lone Fire, get Mardell, search the Therian, equip the Lone Fire.
Yeah, like, search your thing.
There's no way you can tell me that's not good. That seems really good.
Yeah,
that does seem really good.
I'm interested in it. I think that's one thing to look out for in Daifo, and probably something to pick up if you are interested in holding on to things for when they get good.
Yeah,
so just wait until we have them. I'm looking forward to it. I feel like I'm going to kind of just ignore the fact that one deck's going to be up the top. There'll be a few other of the same
around. I really don't think it's that good.
I think it's
by far the best deck.
I think the strategy is incredulous. I just think that the ceiling of it is not the tape.
I don't think Yu-Gi-Oh's cared about ceiling for a while, because the ceilings have all been low.
It's definitely like a very consistent deck, right? And that's what's going to be what gives it the tops, what gives it the consistency to take out all these major tournaments.
What is giving it those.
Since Dragon Link got neutered, we haven't had a high ceiling deck. Like, it just hasn't existed. Unless you want to play a fringe rogue deck that, like, can technically end on 12 negate. I think full power Dragon Link with, like, LP and all of the, like, or even if you want to go back as far as Linkross, but I think even the, like, LP Dragon Link boards were pretty nasty. And
they were pretty bad, yeah.
Kind of felt like one of those, like, did you draw Dark Ruler or not decks? We haven't had one of those in a while. And I feel like the ceiling of every deck. Like, look, what the hell is Tri Brigade?
Mirror Jade Revolt Pass.
You end on nothing. What is Sword Soul doing? Nothing going. Like, none of these decks are very good. Actually, yeah, the Mirrorless Tri Brigade deck was kind of one of those decks. I'll give
that
it that.
Was that she was that girl. Yeah.
That deck was pretty nasty. Glad they landed.
I mean, it's actually a conversation I had earlier in the week, and like a lot of the current like top decks just lose to two hand traps most of the time, and like that's been a thing for a while.
Let's talk about it. The resurgence of Cross Art.
Yes,
that's coming back.
It's literally almost in every deck.
Yeah. Cross Art is. She making itself known.
I think that falls in the same argument I was making with Adventure too. It's like, is it that good? Like, no, but it raises the floor of your deck. Like, it turns a 5-card hand into a 4-card hand, but it's a 4-card hand that on average will more likely resolve, and the Rite of Aramis in your hand makes it a 3-card hand that's more likely to resolve. Like, all of these cards are just like insulation, basically, because of the way the format works. You're kind of like, you start the game with a knife pointed at your throat. And a lot of decks are just built trying to pull that knife away a little bit so they have some room to combo. And that's what Cross Out and Right feel like. Just kind of, let me just play. Come on, I know you've got a hand of 4 hand traps. Just let me do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Cross Out is like definitely finally seen play. We spoke about it at length, and we have spoken about it multiple times. I think it's just because, like, purely Branded Fusion is such a powerful card. You need an answer to it in your own deck. And why not play it, right? Like, because
a nice answer to, like,
to Ash.
Play into tactics.
Yeah, that. And also Ash. Yeah. I mean, like, you need to play through the Ash and, like, banish, like, that as well. And we even saw in, I think, PAX list, a few other people's lists, the classic OCG 1-1-1-1 on hand traps. It's finally seen play, and my $80 a copy is feeling okay again.
It's starting to creep up, actually.
They are clickety crickety. Yeah.
But it kind of feels like tactics in the realm of, like, could you play without it? Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Is tactics actually a good card? Who knows? It's good. But like every time you play it, it could have been a different card in your hand.
Yeah.
It's not like a card like Droplets where it's like, I know it's a droplet in my hand.
It feels like a format dependent card.
Yeah, like every time I draw Droplet, I know exactly what it's going to do. Whereas Tactics is just still one of these cards. It's like, it was good.
I mean,
was it better than Chalice?
We're even seeing Droplet probably won't be as good the coming format, right? Because, I mean, it's still good, but like it's not as good because.
It's not really putting in the work. That's my only concern.
Yeah. Like, most people are just putting in one or two monsters. Yeah. And then, like, you may as well just use a Chalice at that point, or use like an Imperm at that point, right?
I mean, Chalice is crazy.
Chalice, I think, is really coming back.
I think, honestly, if you like analyzed my games, Chalice is one of my highest rates as a card.
Yeah.
I think it's madly slept on. And also Crow is slept on right now.
I think Crow is really the hand trap du jour. I think people...
If you care Bell about beating Despia.
Yeah.
It's way better than Bell.
Less good than Bell, because obviously Branded Lost is a bastard. And also, it punishes, like, the double opens of cards.
Well, it also, like, can't Bell Albion, right? But you can Crow an Albion and, like, completely screw over a Despia turn one setup.
Yeah.
And also, it plays under Branded Lost. It's also proactive. It's also, like, good against Rogue. It's good against so many things. I mean, maybe I'm just biased because it's really good at Tri-Brigade. I think the card is playable at 3 right now over... People are still playing Imperm. It feels weird that Imperm is taking a slot over something like Crow in a format where, like, who's using monster effects on the field? No one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alaba? Sure, man. That's fine.
yeah, like your Mirror Jade, you have the Mercuria to protect it anyway. Like there's, that's yeah. really
well, that negates monster effects, but
oh, fierce. See, I don't even know what these cards do. You know, great research coming to your life. From a, I don't need to because I'm not playing it.
We can just read them.
Yeah, I'll just pick it up and read it.
I'm playing. I would love to play three Mercuria, actually.
Oh, speaking of free ofs, the freebie free up in Hamilton. I can make the announcement.
This month, isn't it?
Yeah. I am coming up for it.
Yeah, the face downs will be getting a vengeance.
Absolutely.
With actual testing this time.
Come second to last rather than last this time. But wait, where did we go?
We did not come last.
I don't remember where we went.
What if we just win? That's fine.
We could just win. Yeah, we could try that. No, we didn't come
last.
Third to last. Oh, no, I think we came. Or maybe not. I don't know. We didn't. We came in the middle somewhere. Yeah. But no, we'll come back with a vengeance. Maybe. Can't promise anything.
No, we will.
Vendred. No.
Vendred? Vendred battle from us.
If you sit down against us, it's over. I'm sorry. I'm calling it right now. We're going to be so good by then. I'm going to train the hell out of it.
Yeah, Ruben will read the branded cards at some point. From now till then.
Just like someone read. So shady. Just like my opponent read Griffin Rider and then Vashooted it. That was funny. That was like the only good play I made. My opponent's misplay there.
Yeah.
That was pretty good, actually.
I love when people don't read.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it, though. That's going to be a pretty huge weekend. I think there's a couple of us coming up from Parmi again this time. So good to see everyone again.
Very large weekend.
As long as the virus doesn't get in the way. Yeah, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's also the regional the next day. You'll see me there with my Libramancer Flame taking out the event. Nice.
You better.
Yeah.
I'll pull all the judge calls in your favor. I'm like, no, Joe can do that. Yeah, no, Fire clearly says add a Libramancer.
It doesn't. It look just this, doesn't say monster. This, yeah. Look at this. Look at this misprinted. Yeah.
Yeah, a Neuron says card. It's crazy. You can pre-prep also in that deck. Total side note, you can pre-prep now.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
I love pre-prep.
No, I know. It's just like every ritual deck is like, and you can play pre-prep. It's like, yeah. They all can. They're all bad. What do you want? Yeah.
It's like patchwork.
I'll go play
like
Lord of the Red. What do you... Yeah.
You have a literally patchwork.
It's patchwork. Except you're bad.
But it's in a fusion deck, which means it's good. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Am I going to play Mega Zaborg again? Am I going to play that bad Lord of the Red deck? Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
You should.
That deck was actually so funny.
Speaking of big things as well, next week we will have, finally, the Painful Choice. I think we're going to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, sure. Why
yeah,
not?
Well, next update will be in a few months.
I just made a banlist video, so that's like...
Oh, yeah. We'll go by that.
Like, I was going to say, that's the groundhog seeing its shadow, right? Yeah. Winter is over, and it's banlist season again.
I think it is. Like, I mean, surely it is. Like, I reckon it'll be just after Daifu, maybe.
What if they just never ban another card?
Oh, please.
I think people would be would take umbrage with that decision.
To be fair, they probably could, they probably don't need to ban anything. There's no one card that I'm like, ugh, this whole game sucks, because there's... Like, Verte's annoying, but, like, it's not an unbeatable or uninteractive card. It's very fair. You pay life points. I've won several games to people activating it. Like, it's not a Protoss. It's not a Gumblar. It's not like a...
It's just unintuitive, which is what they want to avoid their game to become. Because, again, what is it? What's the phrase? Familiarity breeds contempt. If you know this format too much,
I think that's
you will
it.
Hate the game.
Like, I think most ban list inspiration comes from, I'm sick of this. Ban it.
Yes. I think good
as well. The way the game feels at the moment is like when you bought a loaf of bread. It's been in your fridge for like 3 or 4 weeks, and you're a bit like, it's a bit mold. There's a little bit of mold on it. I'll just scrape that off. Put that in the toaster, but it has that weird like kind of stale taste. And that's the game, is that piece of toast. It's kind of like kind of disappointing, and I want a fresh loaf.
I would like a fresh loaf of bread.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I want a nice like bakery loaf.
But like, we're not getting
it. No, we're not.
You know, like
that's fine.
We're never gonna get like a reset ban list.
Because you know what you make with stale bread? French toast, and that's delicious. So I feel like what we're taking right now is cooking lessons, but also we're also taking the current situation and potentially making it better.
I'm just kind of interested because, like, I don't think they need to ban a single, like, personally. If I was just like gun to my head, do they need to ban anything? I'd be like, nah, nothing's really everything's kind of equally as powerful as each other. It doesn't really
just kill prank kids.
Yeah, okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, it will just be Virtae as the only card I would see banned.
Yeah.
Like, Scythe, spoiler alert, does nothing going forward.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? It's like, there's always these kind of ban list predictions. It's like, this card has to go. It's like, Hauk's been on the list, like, every time.
I never once thought Hauk was going to get
banned. I didn't say you.
But, like,
I said everyone else is always like, Hauk's getting banned. And it never has, and it's never felt like Hauk, hilariously, was ever the problem card in most of these decks.
No, girl, it was Linkross. That was the problem card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went, oh, do you want to synchro with that tuner you just summoned? Oops. Yeah. You know.
But that's the thing. Like, everyone always asked for Hauk to get banned, and it didn't. The game hasn't died.
I think Konami just needs to scrape the mold off the bread.
They just need to ban every stupid flood game. Like,
yeah, that.
The only bans that I've looked at in the last few years that have been like, yeah, that's totally, they should have banned that. It's, you know, Protoss, Io, Gumbla. Like, it's not a floodgate, but fuck. you know what I mean? Like, every kind of, like, dumbass floodgate pass deck has kind of had to be banned. And everything else has kind of felt fine. I don't think Harp Horror still needs to be banned. Like, who cares, man?
No, I'd love to see a mass exodus, but I think that, like, everybody would. Like,
every interactive card should just come off the list. And every floodgate card should go on.
Well, they could just put Snowbat on there. Because why not?
I don't know.
But, like, Snow's fun in contention with other broken stuff, right?
Mm. I wouldn't call it fun.
I don't know, because, like, you can't... If you make holes, what you use to fill the holes doesn't fill the holes.
No, but I think an equilibrium of interactive broken cards is more fun than, like, the formats we've had where we've all centralized on one floodgate broken card. You know? Like, a deck that's playing, like the... Well, it's a bad example. Hydrolander VA deck, but that did play a lot of floodgates. But, you know, like, the decks that...
Yes, it did!
There's a difference between decks like Adamancipator that leveraged not letting you play the game, and decks like Agents or, Megalith that, like, leveraged interacting with you in broken ways, not necessarily in, like, you don't get to play the game.
Megalith literally played Magician of Black Chaos.
Only
Black
Dino did that.
No! There literally were other people doing
zero
that.
Zero topping lists with that deck.
Because it was in a literal pandemic. It was in a literal pandemic.
I know, like,
every deck will find a way to utilize a card that says your opponent cannot play the game. I mark my words.
Despia literally does not have one. So I don't know what you're talking about.
If it did,
Despia
though.
Despia just interacts with you.
But if it did, it would.
Yeah, of course. But it doesn't. And that's what I'm saying. Like, decks like that, I never think need to get banned. Right? Like, Orcus never... I guess, like, the Winder Ding interaction, depending on where you lived, was...
It was pretty broken wherever you lived.
Yeah, but again, it was like an interaction deck. I think those are always fun. Because you can also always find ways to counter interactive decks, like System Down against Orcus or things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think your reasoning is flawed.
I just think decks should let you play. And I think there are a lot of...
But I feel like that's an old mentality. That's like, that's boomer Yu-Gi-Oh mentality.
I don't think that's wrong. I think
I'm not saying
there's an element
wrong.
Of the boomer Yu-Gi-Oh mentality that's like, yeah, floodgates are bad.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's very clearly not how the game's being played right now. And if you're looking forward to Power of the
I'm
Elements,
saying,
that's absolutely
not
what's
happening. What I'm saying is they should ban all the cards that make the game like that. Because pretty much every time one of those cards surfaces, it has to get banned.
Mm.
Right,
I think
we've literally seen Protoss and Io, and probably see, yeah,
Scythe. Like, for me, and I know this
Scythe
is a bit of
that category.
Scythe, for me, like, and I know this is a bit of a spoiler alert for next weekend, but yeah, I think it's a card that should just go for the fact that, like, yes, it's not going to be great next format, but then the format after it could be great again, and it's just like, just get rid of it. So it's not a problem again. Like, just...
Yeah.
It's bad Konami card just, design. Just get rid of it.
Konami waits for a card to be exploited and then ban it. It always feels like we still have to endure a multi-month format of going, yeah, Protoss is fine, bro. Cool, next. Like,
I mean, if Protoss was still
always,
around...
It always sucks every time they do it.
I feel like Swords
I don't
all...
think if Protoss was around, you would not be... It's not a concern.
I don't know. I think Protoss right now against
the difference is VFD said you couldn't attack.
Yeah, yeah. But like, it's a similar argument of just like VFD. Yeah, cool, bro. You, like, there's no bad players can just win by going VFD, and you're like, yeah, I have a great hand and I'm a good player. Can't do anything. Bye.
Hmm.
Same with IO when you're playing a spell deck. Just like, yeah, no.
I mean, that's what makes, and I'm a bit off topic here, but what makes Skill Drain it, I know it's a bit of a, you know, card like it, but makes it slightly better is the fact that you can still get around it in ways.
You can pretty much do everything Skill Drain.
Yeah.
Yeah. You literally do everything on the Skill Drain.
Like, you can't use on-field monster effects. When you read it that way, you know, there are no non-on-field spell effects. You know, it's like IO is just so much better because it hits every single spell card except Grave Effects, which is quite rare, I'd say.
But is Free Skill Drain still too much? Probably. But at the same time, has it really impacted the meta the way we thought it was? Would?
I don't think it's impacted.
I think
no, bro. They've literally printed Draco back.
Yeah, it created like an archetype of pure Eldritch, but other than that, kind of.
I think it's definitely brought Eldritch up to the front, though, right? We're still seeing them in the YCS is like heaps of tops, which is like, come on.
Yeah, both versions, actually. Yeah. It's not skewed one way or another.
I've never had someone flip Skill Drain and the game is over, though.
No, but you also play V-Dub, so I guess...
Yeah, you're coming from an unfair angle.
Sure, but like...
Because like your deck's metric is not measured by other people's. I've literally had people flip Skill Drain and I've lost the game. Because I can't play it.
Well, I'm not saying I have never lost. I'm just saying like, there's never been a case where someone has like resolved a Skill Drain and then all the cards in my hand say nothing, zero text.
I am the opposite story to you. Someone has resolved Skill Drain and my cards have no text on them.
Which deck?
Fluwanda.
But like you have outs.
Girl, not when they flip back and go 35-25 kill you with DPE.
You know, like you can still Robina Chain Advent. Like you can still do stuff. It's not like Mystic Mime, you can't activate the effects. It's what I'm saying is like, you still have technically got plays in your deck. When someone flipped IO and you were playing Striker and it resolved, you did not have plays in your deck anymore. Your deck now was nothing and you had to scoop unless you currently held the out that you could chain to it. And the same goes for Protoss. Did you have an Imperm? No. Well, now your Phantom Knight deck instantly loses on the spot and literally cannot play.
I think it's a high impact, right? It's a high impact floodgate, but I wouldn't say it's like as unfair as an IO.
But
that's why IO is banned and Skill Drains are free, right?
Yeah, sure. Again, the cards just, even though they read the same, they do utterly different. Kind of interesting. On paper, as a Yu-Gi-Oh player, you'd think like, oh, those cards are equally as good. One negates spells, one monsters. But it's just the nature of how monsters work is a little bit more fair, I'd say.
Interesting. But anyway, we'll definitely get more into that next week when we do a painful choice. I'm thinking we may do it video wise, but we'll see when we get there.
Hopefully, I'd love for people to tune into our first YouTube video.
That's true. We could do a YouTube video.
Yeah, I think
we could do one.
We could definitely share a screen and have webcams up and stuff. I think we can try work it out. Yeah,
we can talk more about banworthy floodgates. For the heart's content. Yeah.
Full video content, so be sure to check out that one.
I'm just going to like do a hit list of just 5 cards I don't like and just say why I mean, I don't like
them. Definitely what I'm doing.
Because to be fair, I don't think that much is getting banned, so we might as well have fun with it.
Again, I've never taken our painful choices like these cards must go.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's more of a...
It's like these cards should come back.
Or like
that's what's great about the painful choice is... The fact that often we talk about 4 cards that can come back and 1 card that can be banned. So and for those that haven't listened to the Painful Choice before, Ruben, do you want to just take people through what it is?
Oh my god, it's probably our favorite thing we've ever created. I think it's like a random. It was an idea that Lucas and I had the very first COVID-19 lockdown that New Zealand went through, and it's a concept of taking 5 cards within the game that are either on or off the ban list at this moment in time, and then making an adjustment where you would change it and giving some reasoning as to why, and then you present your 5 options and the other people select one, which I think is super super cool. And then we include a little bonus section it's called the Snatch Steal. Obviously, for those who aren't aware, Snatch Steal is a card that very famously was banned and then format. Banned yeah. one after a format had
what
passed.
We call the fairy tale snow of cards.
Preemptive.
The Zodiac Drydent of cards.
No, at least Drydent lived a good time. Snatch Deal, 3 months. So we take one card that is currently banned and make an argument for it to be put to one.
Or three, yeah. if we feel really spicy. Feel
really, like it should be.
But just like a card that's kind of more of like a...
oppressive.
I know it's not going to live more than one format, but it would create in this current format kind of a funny moment, right?
Yeah.
Chaos. Yeah. Just like absolute yeah. chaos.
It's like Eclipse Wyvern. What if we just brought it back for a format and just saw, like, just to see what people could do with it? And I mean, I would have put Fairy Tale Snow in that bracket, and we've certainly seen that card do some things, stuff.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like Konami's on the same page these days. They could still bring back Grinder Golem anytime. There isn't currently a good Link deck. So, like.
Girl, what are you talking about?
What's a good Link deck right now?
Adventure?
What link monsters does it make? Verte? That's not a Link deck. I mean, that's like a deck prank kids. Like yeah. a literal U-Link.
You can't normal summon if you use Grinder Golem, though.
Yeah, not Prank Kids. But, like, yeah. there's no U-Link deck, and that makes me sad, because that's kind of a funny archetype.
You and, like, are Little Miss Flip Flopperella. I don't want to deal with floodgates in the game. I'll U-Link my opponent.
A U-Link is not a floodgate. Shut up. I
suppose Master Rule 5 did kind of address that.
Oh, no, I've been U-linked. Normal Moye? It's like, who cares?
Girl, what are you... I've been U-linked. Fractal? Cool pass.
Yeah.
They deserve it. If you play Tri-Brigade, you deserve it. Also, what do you mean they go branded fusion? Easy.
I cannot with you. You are team too much.
Right a U-link
now.
Is not
team too much.
You are team too much. If you think a U-Link is a floodgate, let us know.
When was the last time someone lost to a U-Link? In fact, have you lost to a U-Link ever in MR5? Write in, because I want to hear.
And also, Breaker Dudes, we are actually going to be playing under the banner of Team Too Much at the Free. So,
Team Too Much. That is...
Team Lucas was wrong.
Team Lucas is smoking crack, yeah. Crack smoking Lucas.
I don't think a U-Link is a floodgate. I think it was a floodgate.
Definitely.
In MR4. Yeah. Absolutely. It was like a win condition in MR4.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is right now, if you brought U-Link out...
literally building... What? You played Fluanderese into Despia, and you're like, oh, U-Link, what a problem.
Yeah. I mean, right now it wouldn't be.
That's what I do. I'm selfless.
Tri-Brigade players do not deserve...
whoa.
You don't deserve.
Yes, I'm saying that. I'm saying if I get U-Linked and I'm on Tri-Brigade, I deserve to lose. I think that's fine.
You deserve to activate Branded Fusion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, as always, what a fabulous episode of After Dark. Heated conversations, rambles, and musings from 10:30 p.m. in New Zealand. As always, thank you so much to everyone who has listened. If you are listening to us on YouTube, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe and share it with a friend. It helps tremendously. If you're listening on your preferred podcasting method, please rate us and leave a review. That also helps a lot. And if you think U-linking is or is not a floodgate, been U-linked in 2020 onwards and lost, let us know. You can write in along with any questions, queries, comments, or concerns to thefacedowns@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitters, though. On our Twitters, they will be linked in the YouTube description below. And as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Ruben.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Steve.
Oh, and you've been listening to The Facedowns.
The face down.
Oh.
No, you go. You do yours.
Jerry Beans, man.
After Dark.
Yeah, there we go.
Fabulous.